freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
Hello and welcome. This is the Conservative Crusader here at GOPJosh.com. Glad to be with you all today, as always, on this Friday, December 8th, Anno Domini, Year of Our Lord 2023. Appreciate being able to hop on with you all today. A lot of news went down in Ohio. We're going to get into a lot of that. But before then, the voting for MAGA Man of the Year is officially open. If you're watching over on Twitter Spaces, it will be, or X Spaces, it'll be up in the little, the nest up on top here in just a minute. It is open for everyone else over on my X profile. It's the MAGA Man of the Year nominations. And the nominations are closed. The voting is open. So before we get into the news of the day, let's talk about who is open. This voting round will end at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. for MAGA Man of the Year. And so the choices are, and there's a big list. So the way we're going to do this is we're going to have one group today, and then one group will be available to vote for, or it's all one group. It'll be the top five, and then the top two. The list of candidates are Lane Brown, a young conservative from Oklahoma; Nico Delgado, a young conservative from Arizona; yours truly; Anthony Mixer, a Washington State activist; Justice Joe Dieters of the Ohio Supreme Court; Mark Pukita, a founder of the Grassroots Freedom Initiative Ohio; Bernie Moreno, a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate; Alan Jacoby, the host of the MAGA Mornings and America First Live programs. We'll get into him a little bit later in the program. Paul Ingracia, President Trump's favorite author, law clerk for the McBride Law Firm; Gavin Wax, the president of the New York Young Republicans Club; Dan Scavino, senior advisor to President Donald J. Trump; Laura Loomer, investigative journalist; Tucker Carlson, the host of Tucker on X; Nick Adams, alpha male political activist; J.R. Majewski, a Republican candidate for U.S. Congress; Brendan Dilley from the Dilley Meme Team. He is the warlord, as he calls himself, of the meme team. Let's get this put up here in the nest. Okay. George Santos, the former congressman from New York's 3rd District; Matt Gaetz, the Republican congressman from the Florida's 1st Congressional District, as well as Carrie Lake, the Republican nominee for Arizona governor; and Steve Bannon, a chief strategist to the White House 45, host of the War Room podcast. Those are your choices for MAGA Man of the Year. Early votes already coming in. I received a vote. Appreciate whoever that was. Matt Gaetz received a vote. Nico Delgado received a vote. We're just now in the beginning stages of the voting. They will be open until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. I encourage you all to vote. If you're listening to this program, it is linked in the show notes below. So let's get into some real news now, shall we? Where we are going to go deep into what happened today with Craig Riedel, or Riedel. This would usually be a segment for the Ohio segment of the program, but this is becoming national. Craig Riedel is a candidate in Ohio's 9th Congressional District. It is the district that J.R. Majewski has ran in, is running in again. Also joining us later in the program is Patty Hamilton, running for Ohio State Representative. We'll get to her in the third segment of the program. So J.R. Majewski is running in this district. He's a Trump guy, of course. He's been on this program many a time. And he had a clip come out where Alan Jacoby, who is a candidate, obviously, for the MAGA Man of the Year, he's also the founder of the Patriot Cigar Company, host of many MAGA shows. And you can do that and listen to this clip right now. So let's play the clip.
You're not looking for a Trump endorsement, are you?
I am not. We are not. Nope.
And you're making it a point that you do not want Trump's endorsement.
Yep. Yep.
When the time comes publicly, and if it does come that you're put on the spot about your support for Trump, what are you going to tell people? Like, just straight dope. What are you going to do?
And I get asked this often, and my answer is the same every time. And I've hit on it already. That look, Donald Trump, he's a different person than me. I don't like the way he communicates. I think he is arrogant. I don't like the way he calls people names. I just don't think that's very becoming of a president.
So it's safe to say that you're not looking to support the guy's primary run.
I'm with you. We need to go a different direction. We need people like, people like Craig Riedel. People like Craig Riedel.
What do you think of Ron DeSantis?
I like Ron. Yeah. I like Ron. I like his. He seems, I can't understand why he's not gaining more traction.
That's taking a really beating, man. Taking a beating.
So that's the clip that was released first on the Charlie Kirk Show, his talk radio program on Salem. And that was released by the gentleman in the clip, Alan Jacoby, to Charlie Kirk, to J.R. Majewski, who is obviously the MAGA choice for this district. But the real problem is the fact that this guy is now endorsing President Trump. Craig Riedel, or Riedel, whatever, however you pronounce his name, I don't really care, is now endorsing President Trump. Let's read this statement together. Matt Gaetz came out. He has already endorsed J.R. Majewski. Max Miller, the congressman from Ohio 7, I think, has came out, endorsed J.R., or not endorsed J.R., but taken his endorsement away from Craig Riedel, or Riedel. And Max and J.R. don't like each other, from what I understand. So this is good. So here's this. Here is what Craig Riedel put on his statement, and we'll get to some of Alan's texts later with Craig. And I had Alan on the program. We did a recording, but if I played the audio, everyone in this whole listening audience would have a massive headache. We're not going to do that. So we're not going to be able to use that. We're going to try to get him rescheduled for Monday. So here's what the statement says. Craig Riedel endorses President Donald J. Trump. Here's what he says. It's very simple. I endorse Donald Trump for president. Let me be clear. There is no question that President Trump's record of securing our southern border, fighting inflation, creating jobs, and taking on our foreign adversaries like China is what we need over Joe Biden's failed leadership. Here's what he said next. Listen to this. Matt Gaetz and a social media trickster pulled a stunt on me yesterday to try and convince President Trump to get involved in my congressional primary for proven loser J.R. Majewski. Yesterday, a so-called donor called me, making numerous anti-Trump statements. I was clear then, and let me be clear now. I am focused on winning this primary by defeating proven loser J.R. Majewski and then defeating Marcy Kaptur in the general election. We could play the audio again, but I think you all gathered the point where he called Trump arrogant, said he likes Ron DeSantis. So we're about to go up to against a hard break here. But here's some texts that Alan Jacoby has released. We're going to get to about 30 seconds of it, and we have to go to the break. Hello, Alan. It was great talking with you for about 2 minutes, he said on the program. I have been endorsed by Jim Jordan, and we have been able to raise nearly $500,000 since announcing our candidacy back on April 3rd. We will defeat Kaptur in this district. I'm grateful for your support. God bless. Craig. Back after this with more on the Conservative Crusader. You're listening to the Voice of the Future.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Five
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJOSHFiverr, FIVERR.
This is The Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is The Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com. We went to the break. We're talking about the whole fiasco, so to speak, between the J.R. Majewski and Craig Rydell, who is running for Congress against J.R. Majewski, where it came out against President Trump. Here's another text from, all right, June 16th is the first text to Alan. And by the way, Alan is not hiding who he is on these donor calls. The text name, and those watching over on our Rumble page can see it, where it says on the text, "Hello, Alan." He knows Alan's name. He knows Alan. He could easily put it into the Googler machine and look up who Alan Jacoby is and see that Alan Jacoby's a Trump guy. So let's go to the next text here, because we talked about this one before the break. If you miss any part of the podcast, go to GOPJosh.com. "Good morning, Alan. This is Craig Rydell. We spoke a couple months ago. I'm endorsed by Chairman Jim Jordan and a dozen other sitting congressmen, and I've raised over $700,000 in about 4 months. This race has been deemed a top five congressional race nationally." The text is a little longer. It's cut off on this screenshot. And then he puts a link to his website. "Hi, Alan." And this is November 13th, so about 2 weeks ago. "This is Craig Rydell. I spoke to you a couple months ago. I've been endorsed now by both Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan in a top five race here in Northwest Ohio, where we have a great opportunity to beat longtime Democrat Marcy Kaptur and flip this seat red. We've also been able to, and it continues on, just asking for money." This is how he responded. "Hey, Craig, Alan Jacoby here." He says his full name. "I have to apologize for not getting back to you. Was wondering if you had time for a call tomorrow or late morning or later in the afternoon to discuss. I like what I'm hearing." He's obviously trapping him here. "Let me know. Hope all is doing well. Hi, Alan. Really quickly here, about 2 hours between the texts. Would 11:15 a.m. work tomorrow morning for you?" He said, "Yes, that'll work. Great, I will call you then." "I will call you then." Alan goes deeper into this, where he talks about even more. He actually shows the call logs. So he shows when texts were received, calls were made. So if you look here, Friday, June 16th, incoming call for 2 minutes. That's the call where they're like, "Thank you for your whatever," he said. "Missed call September 18th. Declined call September 25th. Missed call November 13th. Wednesday, December 6th, incoming text message asking when a call would work. Yesterday is when the call was made at 11:16. Incoming call for 17 minutes, where we had that clip we played earlier. So it's one thing if you don't support President Trump, right? I'm not going to back you for any run that you might put in. But it's one thing if you don't support President Trump. If you don't support President Trump, you tell a donor he is arrogant.
You're not looking for a Trump endorsement, are you?
I'm not. I am not. We are not. Nope.
And you're making it a point that you do not want Trump's endorsement.
Yep.
When the time comes publicly, and if it does come, that you're put on the spot about your support for Trump, what are you going to tell people? Like, just straight dope. What are you going to do?
And I get asked this often, and my answer is the same every time. And I've hit on it already, that look, Donald Trump, he's a different person than me. I don't like the way he communicates. I think he is arrogant. I don't like the way he calls people names. I just don't think that's very becoming of a president.
So it's safe to say that you're not looking to support the guy's primary run.
I'm with you. We need to go a different direction. We need people like, people like Craig Rydell. People like Craig Rydell.
What do you think of Ron DeSantis?
I like Ron. Yeah. I like Ron. I like his. He seems, I can't understand why he's not gaining more traction.
That's taking a beating, man. Taking a beating.
That's the clip. And he comes out now and endorses President Trump to try to cover his rear end, because he does want that Trump endorsement. He does want the endorsement of Max Miller, who is a Trump loyalist. He does want the endorsement of those trying to keep him out of Congress now that he's a rhino. We've all known he's a rhino for a long time, but I know he is, especially now. All right, so let's go a little bit deeper into some other stories now we have queued up for you here. We have one more story for this segment, and then we're going to go to Patty Hamilton running for state representative in Ohio. Hunter Biden has been indicted over tax charges. This is from Vox. Special counsel David Weiss indicted the president on 9 tax charges Thursday, accusing Hunter of failing to file or pay taxes in some years, despite spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on personal expenses and lying on his tax forms for 2018, including by falsely claiming deductions and business expenses for payments to strip clubs, escorts, whatever else. It's remarkable turnout by Weiss when compared to June of this year, when he had agreed to a plea deal that would charge him in a far more limited fashion. That plea deal had resulted in much criticism from Republicans and IRS agents who worked on the case that Hunter was getting let off too easy. And the deal dramatically collapsed in court when questioning from Delaware judge revealed prosecutors and defense attorneys didn't agree on how much immunity the deal would provide Hunter. So he's coming down hard, already charged him with more crimes in California, because that's where he lived at the time, for tax charges. There's a lot more charges here than just tax charges in California. There's a lot of deeper things going on in these situations. It's not just taxes that should be charged against him. But he's the president's son. He's Hunter Biden. He's the golden boy. So whatever. It's not going to happen. What I don't like is the fact that they're going after him about taxes. I mean, what are you kidding me? And so here, apparently, Biden will not pardon him. Here's a clip here.
I have two questions on the Hunter Biden case. Any reaction to the to what we saw last night, new charges? And then I have a follow-up.
Look, the president has said this before, and he will continue to say, which is that he loves his son and supports him as he continues to rebuild his life. I'm going to be really careful and not comment on this and refer you to Department of Justice or my colleagues at the White House Counsel, but that's what I'm not going to go beyond telling you all what the president has said over and over again. He's proud of his son, and he is building his life back up.
I know you want to charges directly, but can you speak at least to the emotional toll the charges are having on the president?
I'm just not going to comment beyond what I just shared.
Are they speaking to each other?
We've been pretty consistent on this. I'm not going to comment on private conversation that the president has with his family members.
So that's the audio. Kind of hard to hear that it was aboard Air Force One. Another reporter asked if Jean-Pierre will pardon, or if Biden will pardon his son. Here's the cut.
I just want to re-up in light of these new charges. You said before that the president would not pardon his son. Is that still the case?
Nothing has changed. That is still the case.
That is still the case. He will not pardon him. Going in California, where Gavin Newsom is the major sort of overseer of all this, is kind of suspicious to me. You can read the full indictment linked in the show notes below for those listening on podcast. And he is simultaneously facing 3 gun charges in Delaware. Could land him in prison up to 25 years. He'll get a slap on the wrist and probably a gift from one of the prosecutors after it's all said and done. This won't go anywhere in terms of charging him for a crime. He pled not guilty to the gun charges in October when the whole plea deal fell apart. He is connected to a firearm purchase when he was on crack cocaine, as we saw in the laptop. This is two-tier system of justice. Once again, we see it going against President Trump. We see it now going towards Hunter Biden. Because if this was Don Jr., he'd be in jail right now. If this was Eric Trump, he'd be in jail right now. If this was Kimberly Guilfoyle, she would be in jail right now. Or Ivanka, they would all be in jail right now. The reason this is different is because Hunter Biden is daddy's boy. He is Joe Biden's ally and friend and whatever else. And this isn't a fair system of justice. It isn't a just system of justice. It is not a reasonable or legitimate thing going on here. And if this special counsel was actually independent, none of this would even be happening. It would be a lot more legitimate, would have already been done for a while now. And we would have gotten into that already. So before we go to break, we want to get in really quickly here to the current standings of the vote for MAGA Man of the Year. Reminder, it's going to be the top 5 choices as we're doing the show live. We have about 9 responses, so it's very early. We have here Nico Delgado is leading, followed by Representative Matt Gaetz, Carrie Lake, Brendan Dilley, Tucker Carlson, and myself were all tied for third place. Going to be huge. Make sure you vote in this before 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. The runoffs will be published on my X page after that. After this, we're going to be hopping in with this segment. Right now, we're going to be hopping in with Patty Hamilton running for Ohio State Representative against front of the program, Brian Stewart. Going to ask her why she's running and everything like that. Back after this on The Voice of the Future, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to The Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Future Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOP Josh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/TheConservativeCrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free and financial support is not required or expected, but anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks. And now, back to the Conservative Crusader.
This is the Conservative Crusader.
Well, welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. Joining us now is a candidate for Ohio State Representative in the 12th District. She is a retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army, and thank you for your service. Running against someone I have on the program very often, Brian Stewart. Patty Hamilton, welcome to the program today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Josh. Thank you for having me. I truly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on with us. Now, I'm not going to try to make this a lion's den or anything, but as everyone knows, I'm friends with Brian Stewart, so I do have a couple questions regarding him. So first of all, well, I appreciate that as well. He is a friend of the show, a friend of mine, and you're also running to represent me in the State House, so I have specific questions kind of about mm-hmm. that. My first question is, why did you decide to run now in 2024 against Brian Stewart, who is a Republican, and what made you decide to run now?
Well, the big reason I am running now, a couple reasons, really, to be honest with you. One big reason was that I'm really passionate about keeping industrial solar off fertile farmland. And unfortunately, Brian is my representative as well. And he brought the only solar project to Pickaway County as a county commissioner. And that really disturbed me. And so it was very frustrating. And truthfully, he hasn't been extremely open with me. I had to go and introduce myself to him. I have never actually had the opportunity to talk to him. And when asked about industrial solar projects on fertile farmland, he refused to write a resolution and oppose that, knowing that Pickaway County is a huge farming community, along with, for the past year, well, actually more than a year ago, friends of mine had asked me to run, and they felt that I needed to run and I needed to primary Brian because they were very dissatisfied with what they had seen with the first 2 years that when he was in office. For example, one of the things that even bothered me was 3 months into his first term as House Representative, he chose to run for the U.S. Congress seat that Steve Stivers was vacating. And that was upsetting because it's, you know, I understand that you might want a higher office, but really, truthfully, the big thing needs to be is that what about us? Why did you want to leave us as representing us at the state level and go to the U.S. congressional office? It frustrated me when that happened. And then I also was told that he wanted to run for state senator when Stephanie Coonsey's seat was vacated But with the new maps, unfortunately, he wasn't able to do that. So those are kind of wrapped it up in one package. That's kind of the reason why I'm running.
Well, I understand your concerns, and I appreciate you being open and honest about them and being honest about it. My first question is kind of specific into a detail about industrial solar. I know all about that issue. I'm fighting a battle of that myself. What can you do in the State House? And this is kind of in specifics, and I know I didn't mention this before the interview, but what can we do at the State House in specifics to stop industrial solar? Writing a resolution opposing it, I understand the sentiment there, but it doesn't really get a lot done in terms of actually stopping it. So what can be done? Because it's mostly a county-level issue, if I'm not wrong.
Well, it is a county-level issue, kind of. But it also is, I've met at the State House with the Business First Caucus, and some of the things that we can, put that at bay is by finding reliable, affordable, and sustainable energy, like natural gas, that can supplement that, along with the nuclear energy. There are mini reactors that are available, along with the larger reactors. When they take the particles out, they still have the uranium within those. Each of those still has 90% to 95% usage. According to Representative Dick Stein out of Norwalk, he has said that we could actually keep electric going for another 1,000 years just utilizing those reactors' byproducts. So that is really important that we find other sources. So as a representative, my goal would be to find those resources so we don't have to look to the federal funding that is really the culprit of why industrial solar on fertile farmland is happening. Because if we didn't have the federal funding from the federal government, those solar companies wouldn't be willing to put the money in, because there's only 73 clear days of sunshine in the state of Ohio. I lived in El Paso, Texas when I was stationed at Fort Bliss, and that location, they don't even want solar. They're trying to recycle panels and they aren't able to do it. So to me, I've done a lot of research. I've spoke at the Ohio Power Siting Boards opposing it. I am very active. Does that mean that everything has to be legislated at the State House? Not really. There's some stuff that we can do locally as well.
Well, I agree with you there, and I appreciate your willingness to talk about nuclear, which is something I'm big in. I don't know if you know Jerry Majewski running for Congress up in the Toledo area. He's a friend of mine. He's a big nuclear guy, so I appreciate you mentioning that and putting that aspect out there. So outside of solar panels, what are specific issues that you're going to focus on if elected to the seat? I'm not going to push you anymore on the Brian Stewart thing. We're going to move on to your personal campaign.
Right.
Specific issues, what you're going to focus on, what you're going to try to slam out. There's 99 people. Who are you going to work with in the 99 people to get what you want done?
Well, some of the things that I really want to focus on is I want to also get the critical race theory and the woke agenda out of our school curriculum. That is really important, and I want to fight for that, and I want to fight for our children in the counties, even throughout the state. And I really oppose masking our children and closing our schools. And when that happened during the China virus, I don't want that to happen again. So I want to fight to write legislation so that won't happen ever again. Because medical freedom and allowing parents the right to make those decisions for their children is so important. Another one that I really want to focus on is getting rid of these soft on crime policies and getting, if you do the crime, you got to do the time. I want to keep our communities safe, or in some instances, get them to a very safe level. Right now, I know some communities within the district are suffering from, soft on crime policies causing problems in their communities, and I don't believe that is the answer.
I appreciate that you're more than just a one-issue candidate, because a lot of the grassroots people are just one thing. That's all they want to focus on. I'm glad you have kind of a variety that you're working on. And I know that that sounds kind of weird that I'm talking about that, but I talk to a lot of grassroots candidates on and off the program, and usually it's a one-track mind. So I'm glad you have something else you're kind of thinking of. My last big question before I turn the floor over to you to say anything you'd like to say is, do you have any Gen Z involvement in your campaign that you're working on right now? Obviously, it's not quite as big as other campaigns we've spoken to. It's a state house race, not quite a Congress race. But do you have any Gen Z involvement, and how will you vote on behalf of Gen Z, the 11 to 26-year-olds, in the state house if elected?
Well, I have Gen Z involved. I have a few young people that are helping on the campaign when we've done our parades and also doing door knocking. So they are very powerful and impactful and lots of energy. As far as how I would, you know, write policy or legislation for that generation, the big thing is that I really think that we have to get back to, truthfully, back to family foundations, because I feel like those younger generations are so focused on the technology, which is good, don't get me wrong. Technology is extremely important, but it also is getting back to actually communicating with one another in a manner that we can have a positive influence. And I just, one of the things I really feel like Gen Z, some of them have missed, is that their parents have, you know, allowed them maybe an over amount of technology, and they're not able to communicate as well. And you can see where the breakdown in the family has kind of happened a little bit. It's not everybody, as we know, but I really would love to bring a strong family network. And I mean, my grandchildren, I have ages from 6 years old to 14 years old. So I do understand that that is the generation. But, you know, I used to teach school, so I understand. I taught fourth through eighth grade, so I understand how kids are, and I understand what motivates them, and, you know, making stuff fun and, you know, giving them an opportunity to speak. A lot of times asking those questions that get them excited about something is really the key to success.
Well, I apologize to hear you were a school teacher, because I'm a young person. I would hate to be in the classroom now. Patty Hamilton is on with us now. She's running for Ohio State Representative, District 12. Going to turn the floor over to you. Where can people find you online, support your campaign, help your campaign, volunteer, all that fun stuff if they'd like to?
Yes, you can find me at my website. It is Patty, the number 4, OhioRep.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Patty Hamilton, Ohio 12th District candidate. And I'm on Twitter at Patty85 Hamilton. So you can reach me at any one of those. Also, I am willing to, at my email as well, Patty Hamilton at Patty4OhioRep, the number 4. .com. So I am out there ready to have people work together. I've got a pretty good campaign team together. We are working hard, and I'm always looking for many more people throughout the county and throughout the district, everywhere. But the big thing, just to give a little plug for myself, on, you know, I've dedicated my life serving this great nation as a soldier, a wife, a mother, and, you know, even as a school teacher. So I really am energized and ready to help the citizens of our state as the state representative. So I look forward to that opportunity if the voters choose me.
Well, I appreciate you giving all that information and sitting down with us today. I know it cannot be an easy thing to do after the way I'm sure you've seen where I've hosted Brian in the past. So I appreciate you having the conversation, willing to speak. I enjoy every time I run into you at a meeting, and you're always civil and kind. I do appreciate that and the kindness you exhibit. So I'm glad we have more positive people running, not running with a vengeance, but actually running to do something. And I really appreciate that. The link for her website, Patty, the number 4, OhioRep.com, will be in the show notes below for those listening on the podcast. And you can find information about her there. Patty, thank you for joining us today, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. I truly appreciate your time. You have a wonderful day.
You too. And we'll love to have you on before the election again.
Okay, sounds great. I look forward to it.
Yes, ma'am. Back right after this here on the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
All right, we're not recording anymore. So appreciate you doing it. Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Patty Hamilton. Full disclosure, as the time of recording the rest of the program, that interview has not been done yet. So I hope it was great. Hope we got other questions answered. And yeah, that's about it. You can follow the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Rate us 5 stars. Would greatly appreciate it. Yeah, that's about all I have. We got about 5 minutes left in the program. We're going to talk about Vivek, who we didn't get to anything about the GOP debate. It's already irrelevant by this point on Friday. And then we're going to be done for the week, and we're going to be back with you on Monday. Vivek is not going to win the Republican nomination for president. There is no shot whatsoever. He has been widely accepted in the RNC, or the libertarian, rather, circles. I went to Revolution, which is a Young Americans for Liberty, a libertarian conference. They had him speak. They propped him up. He is a good guy. I have to admit, I like what he says. But he is not going to be the Republican nominee. They were popping him up. The Columbus Dispatch released an article today talking about how the Libertarian Party in Iowa has inquired to Vivek's campaign, or actually vice versa. Vivek's campaign has reached out to the Libertarian Party of Iowa about running for president as a libertarian. Campaign operatives for Ramaswamy attended a local party event this week, and Ramaswamy had had conversations with two Iowa libertarian officials, including one instance where he expressed interest in joining the ticket, one of those officials confirmed. Ramaswamy, an Ohio entrepreneur and author who in 2004 voted for a libertarian presidential candidate, has openly criticized the Republican Party as he seeks the party's presidential nomination in the first of the caucus state. He has struggled to gain traction. Asked Thursday if he would run under the Libertarian ticket should he be defeated in the Republican race, Ramaswamy told the Register, I believe it's the Des Moines Register, no, but he held out the possibility the Libertarian Party might nominate him. I expect to get the GOP nomination, Ramaswamy said. I have a strong libertarian instincts. I can't stop them from nominating me, and I would be proud if they did. Ramaswamy spokesperson Trevor McLaughlin told the Register on Thursday morning that the candidate was running as a Republican, not a Libertarian. The campaign was focused on bringing libertarians to support Ramaswamy at the Republican caucuses. At a campaign event focused on eminent domain last week, Ramaswamy spoke briefly with Ryan Kurt, chair of the Polk County Libertarian Party. Kurt said that when he told Ramaswamy his role, the Republican candidate mentioned to him he might be interested in pursuing the Libertarian ticket. You might want to be talking to some libertarians. I like Vivek. I want to like Vivek. I want to like what he says. I want to be able to look at him as a possible heir to the MAGA movement after President Trump has served his last term and he is done. But if he's going to run as a libertarian or even accept the nomination as a libertarian candidate, he needs to be wiped out politically. Because any other third-party candidate on the ballot that's a right-winger is going to take away votes from President Trump. Do we have the clip that, how many times do I have to teach you this lesson, old man? Because that's what it seems like. How many times do... Every time we run an election...
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I love the young people.
And that's how it seems. With the Republican Party and with politics in general.
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
How many times do we have to teach the Republican Party we can't even stand by while a libertarian is propped up? They're going to be a joke, they're going to hurt our chances, and it's not going to be good. Reminder to vote in the MAGA Man of the Year poll. Link in the top notes of the show notes below, listening on podcast. Rate us 5 stars, support us all. It will be great. You can do that over there. And you can listen to the show on Wednesday when we will reveal the final winner. This is the Conservative Crusader back with you Monday on the 11th. Your voice of the future, GOPJosh.com. Hope you all have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.